Our reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 48. Cornelius calls for Peter. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even onto Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. And apologies for those rude noises that the microphones were making. I think we're okay, are we? Brilliant. Let's just pray as we come to look at that passage together. Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you for your word, and we pray that it may be our rule and our guide. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who inspired it, and we pray that he may be our teacher this morning. And we ask that your glory may be our supreme concern, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I wonder whether you have a favourite. Maybe a favourite actor, a favourite musician, a favourite writer. You know, some families are riven by favouritism. One child thinks that their sibling is their parents' favourite and that they are neglected and unloved. And that can cause terrible suffering for them and a poor sense of their self-identity. Other children feel that at school. Another child seems to be the teacher's pet because they're clever or because they're sporty. And school becomes a miserable experience for them. But what about God? Does God have favourites? Does he show partiality to some and not to others? For example, are the Jews his favourite? Or the British? Or wealthy white men? Well, I hope that we'd all say no. But not everyone in history would agree with us. And even Peter didn't believe that at first. He had to learn that God doesn't show partiality. And that's the message of our passage this morning. And I believe that it has much to teach us. So, it's a key moment in the story of God's work. In fact, it's so important that Luke tells this story three times. He tells it here in Acts 10. He tells it again in Acts 11 when Peter gets back to Jerusalem. And he tells it a third time in Acts 15 when some Jewish Christians want Gentile believers to be circumcised and follow Jewish rules and regulations. So if Luke tells the story three times, it must be pretty important. Let's therefore look firstly at Cornelius. Luke tells us he was an officer in the feared Roman army. But he was also devout and God-fearing. And that means that he was attracted to the God of Israel and he respected the Jewish nation and their moral standards. He was generous with his money, he prayed constantly, and he won the respect of the Jewish community. But he was still a Gentile outsider. He hadn't been circumcised, and he didn't follow the Jewish dietary laws. As Paul says in Ephesians, Gentiles were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise. But God had plans for Cornelius. And so he sent Cornelius a messenger, an angel who told him that God had accepted his prayers and gifts as a memorial. And then the angel told him, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." Now, you might think that Cornelius was saved already. After all, he feared God, he prayed, he gave, and he tried to do good. Isn't that enough? Surely God will accept him. Or again, some people say Cornelius was an anonymous Christian. He was already accepted by God, he just didn't know it. But the answer that Luke gives is no. That's why he was told to send for Peter. He needed to hear the gospel message in order that he might be saved. He needed to put his trust in Jesus. Because as we heard 2 weeks ago, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to humankind by which we must be saved. So even good people need to be saved. Even churchgoers need to be saved. God was at work in Cornelius. But the Lord, secondly, was also at work in Peter. So Peter grew up knowing that Israel was God's treasured possession. They were set apart to belong to God. They were the people to whom God had made himself known. And Peter knew that they were to stand out from their Jewish neighbours. They were circumcised. They kept the Sabbath. They observed the food laws. And those were the signs of their commitment to God. But there was more than that. Because Jews didn't eat with non-Jews. In fact, they didn't even enter their houses. The people that you ate with were family. And the Jewish family was separate from everybody else. But there was a problem. Many Jews turned that doctrine of election into a doctrine of favoritism. And it became a source of racial pride and hatred. So that instead of attracting Gentiles by the beauty of their lives to God, they looked down upon them as inferior. They referred to them as dogs. And they told horrendous stories about pagan worship. And yet the choice of Abraham had nothing to do with elitism. Yes, God had promised that he was going to bless Abraham and his descendants. But he also promised that through them, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And the Old Testament spoke of the day when Messiah would inherit the nations, when the Lord's servant would be their light, when all people would flood to the Lord's house, when the Lord would pour out his Spirit on all humankind. And tragically, the Jewish nation had forgotten that. So as far as Peter was concerned, Cornelius was unclean. He couldn't eat with him, and he certainly couldn't enter his house. And that's why Peter's vision was so shocking. He saw a sheet full of unclean animals descending from heaven. And he heard a voice telling him, kill and eat. And that was something Peter had never, ever done. He'd never touched a bacon sandwich or enjoyed roast pork for Sabbath dinner. He was horrified and refused. And yet the voice told him, what God has made clean, do not call common. It happened 3 times in the vision, and Peter was perplexed. What could it possibly mean? And God isn't just telling Peter that he can eat camel pie with a clear conscience. It's about entering a Gentile's home and sharing a meal with them. It's about outsiders becoming insiders. So when the men from Cornelius arrive, he's told to go with them. God has sent them, and he mustn't discriminate against anyone. And Peter obeys. He's understood the meaning of the vision. He tells Cornelius, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. In other words, Peter has seen that all people are acceptable candidates for salvation. That we mustn't look down on anyone because of their race or ethnic origins. Even Gentiles like us can be saved. Which brings us thirdly to the good news. Peter begins by saying that God accepts all believers. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. God doesn't have favorites. And so Peter tells Cornelius the message. It's good news of reconciliation through Jesus the Messiah, he says. Peace with God, but peace between Jews and Gentiles as well. And it's a peace that only comes through Jesus. Only Jesus can heal warring factions. And the church is intended to be a model of that reconciliation. It's the message that our world desperately needs to hear today. It's good news that Jesus is Lord of all. That Jesus is the center of God's plan of salvation for all the earth. He's not just King of the Jews. He's Lord of all the earth. And it's good news of what God did through Jesus in human history. So Peter tells him how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. How God was at work through him and his ministry. How he was put to death under the curse of God. But God vindicated him by raising him from the dead on the third day. How God chose the apostles to bear witness and sent them to tell everybody the message. Everyone is accountable to Jesus as the judge of heaven and earth, the living and the dead. But it's good news that salvation is available to everybody. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And that's why believers don't need to be afraid of judgment. There is full and free forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful summary of the gospel message. Cornelius had worshipped the God of Israel from afar. He'd looked with admiration through the window at the Jewish nation and its traditions. But now God has fulfilled the purpose for which he called Israel in the first place. And everyone who believes in Jesus is welcome as a member of the people of God. And as Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon the hearers. It's what God had promised would happen when people turned to Christ. And it's what happened to us when we believed in Jesus. And it's not surprising that the Jewish Christians with Peter were amazed. Because here was a Gentile. He wasn't part of the Jewish nation. He hadn't been circumcised and become a Jew. And yet God had given him the Holy Spirit. And so Peter draws the obvious conclusion. We don't have to become Jews to become Christians. We are all accepted on the same terms. Jews have to repent and follow Jesus to enter the kingdom, and so do Gentiles. The mark of belonging isn't circumcision now. It's faith in Jesus the Messiah. And that's why Peter says, if God has accepted Gentiles into his kingdom, we'd better welcome them into the church. If they've received the Holy Spirit as we have, then we better baptize them as members. We can't go on treating them as outsiders. And that is absolutely massive. God doesn't show partiality, but welcomes into his church all those who repent and believe in Jesus the Messiah. So what does God want us to learn this morning? Well, I think firstly it affects how we see others. If we had a large sheet descending from heaven, who would be in it? What kind of prejudices do we have? Do we see and love others as God sees and loves them? Do we see them as people that he longs to bring into his family? Because faith in Christ breaks down every barrier. It transcends religious, racial, and national boundaries. And I wonder if we've seen that. Secondly, it affects how we see the church. Are we the multicultural, multinational people of God? Or are we an exclusive club for like-minded people? Do we place extra requirements on some people before we will accept them at St. Luke's? Are there people we treat as second-class Christians because they're different to us? Because of the colour of their skin? Because of their immigrant status? Because of the job they do or the place they live? Because they support the wrong party? Because they eat meat or don't eat meat? If God has accepted them, who are we to exclude them? And thirdly, it affects how we see our mission. Are we willing to cross boundaries in order to share the good news? To that Muslim family across the street, to the Hindu in the office, to the atheist at the gym. You see, I wonder if there's a Cornelius in our lives, and God is at work in them. They're dissatisfied with their life. They lack a sense of meaning and purpose. They're attracted by Christ and Christians, and they're asking good questions. Are we ready to tell them how they can be saved? Peter tells us we should always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the answer, the reason for the hope that you have. Are we ready to do that? God's plan from the beginning is a community of people who follow Jesus. A community known for their faith and obedience. And that's what we're to pray for, to give for, and be prepared to go for. Amen.